you're going to set that up and text me?
See what I can do.
Yep.
Awesome.
Perfect.
How's it going?
Good.
How's everything going on your end, Joe?
Good. What's, Tony, what's the address on Mechanic? 24?
26.
26?
I'm pretty sure.
Dina, do you have that card?
Yeah, it's in my office.
Okay. Well, before the end of the
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to sign that.
Okay.
I didn't know these two should be in these. The order of them. We're advertising for something.
You look beat, Tone. Yeah. Not you, the other one.
Yeah. So do I.
Does that make sense to you?
Right. Gotcha. Yes. I think you're right.
Same with this one up here. Does it make sense to switch those?
Should we authorize it first?
Should we authorize it? Or? I mean, it's a technicality, but...
Yeah.
These two and then
yeah.
These two.
It is 26, Joe.
It is 26?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really just a switch.
You know, don't worry about it for now.
Well, all right, I'll get it.
I threw extra money in today.
And what was your note on E?
Just something we wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Bob actually had brought that one up.
Okay. All right, it's 5:30. I guess we'll start the work session. I thought the first thing we'd do is allow our department heads to talk about their budgets. There are two items on this work session that I would propose that we do away with, and that's the Highway Equipment Reserve Fund and the Parks Facilities Reserve Fund as far as what was the intent there? Just to set up a reserve fund and not go with, because I thought that we had determined that we didn't want to do a capital reserve fund as defined by law.
Yeah.
We certainly, we can accomplish the same mission by just setting up a separate fund specific to capital improvements without the technicality or the formality of the legal Highway Reserve Fund, because I think we are all a bit uncomfortable having the county DOT authorize
commissioner sign off
or commissioner sign off on those.
So the way it's worded in these motions is the
no, you're going to do away with those two motions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All together. So not just the work session item, but
you
right
can
off
just establish them.
Yep. And I was going to move to that towards the end.
Okay.
Yep.
So what? Are we going to do another resolution at some time?
No.
No.
We budgeted dollars, so we're just going to move them dollars to a separate...
holding account, basically.
An account, right, on the balance sheet, which will separate them and keep them out of the fund balance. It'll keep them from falling into the fund balance. So we'll just identify what they are and show them on the balance sheet.
So why did you say we had to set them up originally if you could have done just what you're saying?
Well, because I was trying to do what I thought our intent was all along, was to legally set them up and name them. And.
But we don't need to do that.
Don't need to do that.
No. And we can accomplish the mission. And I've gone over this with Tony and Gene. You know, Gene, I think, is well aware of what we're trying to accomplish with his...
we are talking about it, but the only thing I would ask us to consider, to me, the highway reserve account for equipment makes so much sense because of the ultimate price tag on those things. But I don't know if I would, if it was left up to me, if I would set up a specific parks reserve account for capital. What I would consider doing would be setting up a reserve account for capital improvements, which would include parks. It would also include this building. It would include anything of a larger status. But why single out parks? It's not like a picnic pavilion roof is going to cost more than the roof of this building. But we only buy trucks for the highway department at $200K apiece. So I'm just, I would throw it out for a minute or two discussion. Why don't we just consider to setting up a capital account, in a generic capital account?
That's what I think he's talking about.
No, it's, we want to call it parks.
No, they still want to, because we're actually budgeting for it in the parks budget. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do that, then take it out of parks budget and stick it under a building account
exactly.
or something.
And then we can decide, or any board can decide to either, you know, buy a new picnic pavilion or buy a new roof for this building.
You know, I'm fine with that, except one thing to consider is, you know, as boards change over time, when you have an account that's specifically defined or more narrowly defined, it places more of an emphasis on that particular department's needs. And even though it's just basically it's an accounting procedure where you're separating out funds and you're tracking how much is set aside for a particular focus, it does, I think, add that additional shock absorber for that particular department. That's all I was thinking. What I'd like to do is actually, instead of having less of these, have more of these. Because especially the way we've shaken up parks, you know, I've had Tony really refocus his equipment purchases, so that, you know, we're going to stretch his mowing fleet. You know, he's not going to get a new mower every 4 years. It's not going to be a budgeted mower every 4 years. And at any time, you know, you could have, potentially, you could have one of those $20,000 mowers blow up. Not blow up, but the engine could die. And it would cost more to fix it than to buy a new one. So in that event, you'd have a chunk of money dedicated to parks where, okay, Tony comes to us, makes the case. It would still take board approval. But it could be just, otherwise, you know, you can accomplish it both ways. I like identifying where our intent was and where our focus and concern was when we're putting money aside for capital projects.
I think that's valid. That's a very valid point, Joe. And maybe what you just said is what we ought to do is maybe more than less. Because the whole purpose of these things is to get rid of the highs and lows.
Yeah.
That's the only reason we're doing this.
Right.
So if it's a $20,000 mower, that's equivalent to a $20,000 fix for this roof. So let's set up another capital account then for in general.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all for, you know, to get rid of the highs and lows for budget impacts. And I don't have a problem setting up another one, leaving one alone for parks. That's good, because you're right. It creates that identity.
And because, you know, a $20,000 hit to the parks department is a significant budget increase on any
given
year.
And to the town in general.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you don't do it, anything you don't do every year, you know, we ought to look at those things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what capital budgets do.
Right.
Yep.
They look at things that you don't do every year.
Right.
So I don't know if we want to add a third one or consider it. Man, maybe we do that next year. But
over time, as they present themselves as opportunities to help, help us in our goal of these shock absorbers. I mean,
they're shock absorbers.
Exactly. And it's still, like you said, there's still complete oversight. And the other thing, I think there was somewhat of a concern. Tony, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if we didn't do that and have money dedicated to the parks, that maybe the money would just go back into the general fund and it might be utilized in other areas. If you create a capital reserve account or a capital improvement account, whatever you want to call it, the non-legal descript, it adds additional accountability to any boards that would like to use that money elsewhere.
Right.
So if there happens to be one particular year, $100,000 in the parks capital fund, and a future board says, geez, you know, we could really use that 100 grand, let's take it out and put it towards...
We need a new roof.
Blacktop it. You know, it that protects what the true intent for that money was.
Okay. So,
Yeah, absolutely, right on. Because if we put it in the general fund, the years of going down the road of losing that money, not so losing it, but going into the fund balance, and the time will come when I will ask for it, and it's already in the fund balance, and I won't get it because of that, you know.
No, that's not what Joe said. Joe said the temptation, if you put, even if you don't put it into and identify it, the temptation is just to take it and put it in the general.
Well,
which is what the county legislature did with our special events account.
Yes.
we earned hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was up to like $500,000 or $600,000. They took it.
Oh. Yeah.
Those bums.
Okay. So all right. So we'll remove those two and we'll set up those two accounts.
Great.
The local law to override the tax levy limit, we're proposing that. Obviously, with the budget that I propose and that we're considering, you know, we are, if it goes through without major modifications, I mean, we would exceed that this particular year. But even if we weren't going to do it, I would propose that this board make a motion anyways. Just because, from a principal standpoint, that the town of Lysander, its elected officials and its department heads have a responsibility to provide defined services to this community. And what I've seen as a mayor, I've seen as a town supervisor, I've seen this tax cap law encourage municipalities to kick the can down the road as far as maintenance responsibilities from a road maintenance standpoint, capital projects. And as we all know, those things don't get less expensive as you put them off. Either the damage to the roads or the infrastructure increases in cost because of neglect, or the cost of doing business goes up over time. It also discourages municipalities from cutting taxes when it's appropriate, because there's a realization, there wasn't one last year, but there's a realization that when you have a cut, it's very difficult to make up those funds under a cap law like we have. It's not, and when I say it's a 2% cap, that's doing it a disservice. It's not a 2% cap. It's the rate of inflation.
It's just a tax cap. They don't even call it 2% tax cap.
Yeah, it's not even a 2%.
Five tenths or 0.7%.
Yeah, this year it was 0.61%. Yeah. So on a, let's see, we have a $2 million taxable value in the town. So we could theoretically raise, if we stuck to that, $12,000 additional, which I don't believe even paid for the increase in insurance costs. So what do you do?
Well, what I'd like you to do is save that thunder and make sure you say that tonight, because that is so, you're in principle, everything you said is right on target, Joe. I agree with you, and we need to do this as a matter of principle, but it needs to be explain just the way you did for the public record.
Sure, absolutely. We have to do that. And if there's any other questions, we'll move on then to...
I think there's also a tax benefit for residents, or isn't there some kind of incentive where if we do pass the 2% tax cap, for whatever reason, residents...
So you're right. It's also based on a carrot and stick approach from the state. If you abide by this cap, then your residents will receive a refund check. Now, I won't even get into the cost of how much it costs to mail all those checks and how much money is wasted in that effort. But if you look at what the town portion of property taxes is, it's a very small portion compared to what people are paying in school taxes and in their county taxes in their special districts. When you boil it all down, it's you might save someone $18 and to a person. And I've asked this question a lot because I wanted to make sure I wasn't just running off into the sunset on my own. People would rather have that $18 go toward their roads. If you gave them a choice, well, and it's wide open, our budget's wide open. We are going to increase the budget by this amount, and it's going to go here, here, and here. Would you rather get an $18 check in the mail? And I'm just making up an arbitrary number. I don't know what it's different for everybody.
Not much more than that.
It's not much.
I think mine was $6.
Yeah, it's not much more than that. Then that might be on the high end. But would you rather have $18 stay in the infrastructure, or would you like to go to McDonald's with three people or two people? You know, and to a person, no one has ever said I'd rather have the $18 check. It's the best money spent, your local tax dollars. You can see it. You know, you wake up one day and someone's grinding down your road and you get a brand new surface road, or it's a snowy day and you see a town plow go by. That's where your money's going. It's not some arbitrary program that you'll never see or benefit from. It's services that make your life as a town resident better. But you're right.
Right.
There is an incentive to get a rebate. So unless there's any other questions or comments, Gene's not here. I wanted to give him an opportunity to participate in the Willett Parkway granite replacement discussion. He should also probably be a part of the proposed road closing. I'm going to, does anybody know, is Gene going to be here tonight? Okay. All right, so we'll just hold off on those. Al will be with us shortly. He had an appointment he had to go to for physical therapy, I believe.
We're going to hold off on the Mercer Road closing because they want a party on October 29th.
No, I mean, just until Gene gets here. I mean, because it has to do with a road closing, and I would, you know.
The resident is coming for the meeting.
Okay.
They're what?
The resident is coming to the meeting. I told him to come.
And we can have that discussion and ask Gene if he has any input. We can have the discussion now.
Well, you know, my problem or concern is it's literally, you know, at the 11th hour before their party. Why didn't they come see us 2 months ago? I have no idea if they've polled every single resident on Mercer Street to make sure that this is a party that everybody wants to have the road closed for.
Now, what I'm not sure is this the new Mercer Street or the old Mercer Street? Because
that's in Lysander Preserve.
Okay, so this is the new Mercer Street.
It's not the existing Mercer Street.
She said it's in Lysander Preserve, and that was what she told me, Mercer Street. And I said, well, you'll need to come to the meeting to explain because I'm sure they'll have questions.
I mean, I don't want to close a road, and then the day later, some resident's going to say, what the hell did you do?
And I'm looking forward to having that conversation with her as well.
Okay.
But my understanding, in every block party that I've ever been associated with, you know, they close the road to through traffic, not to local traffic. So if someone's got to get to their house, you know, they go around the barricade. But, you know, tables are set up on one side. You know, if a car needs to get through, it rolls through. It's not closed to every vehicle necessarily. And these are just events, in my mind. You know, I'm one of five on the board, but I personally love these things. This is what community is all about. And especially if it's in Lysander Preserve, which is the new section.
Right.
So all these residents are brand new to the area. They want to throw a party to get to know each other. They probably have kids playing with each other. I mean, this is what, I mean, I'd like to encourage more of these.
We did this in our development when I first moved there.
Yeah.
Same thing. I don't remember if somebody came to the town. Somebody must have approached the town somehow because
the
highway came and put up barricades at the end of the street. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good.
I went to, here's a story, Seneca Street and the Van Buren side of the village. I was invited a couple years, myself and my family, to their celebration. And at the time, I believe it was their 85th consecutive block party celebration. So not only was it a block party, they had a record book this thick, and everybody signs in. I signed in, Joe Saracini, mayor of the village. And they'd go back, and you could see residents generations ago, where they lived, what houses they were in, you know, what kids they had. I mean, it was
wow. It
was really cool. Now, now that's an effort every year. It's very organized, and not everyone's like that. But just the simple fact that neighbors are getting together on their streets.
It's great. I mean, I don't want to be the...
I don't have a problem.
Just want to make sure that everybody over there is happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was surprised.
Have to ask her when she shows up.
Does Mercer dead end? Does Mercer dead end?
I thought it dead ended at Connell Terrace.
Because it says at the end of Mercer Street.
There was a new development that happened. So Mercer went all the way up to Connell Terrace.
Yeah.
There was Lysander Preserve as a new development that went, I think, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It extended Mercer Street.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
It's not on my
so that's
place.
The new Mercer Street that...
Okay.
Well, I mean, it'd be great. I tell you what, it'd be even better if the old Mercer Street and the new Mercer Street did it together. I mean, what better way to integrate a new section of your community? I mean, that would be cool. But that's their party. So I'm not going to tell them how to run it, but... But it was so cool. It was so cool to be a part of that, and I think that's what makes our community a community. It's not necessarily the fact that we just have roads and services. It's that we all live here and we're neighbors.
Gotcha.
So I guess I have some questions for her. I don't know. You know, sometimes you're right. Sometimes these parties just develop, and if there's concern that we want more heads up, then certainly share that with her, so that if this does become an annual event, that next year we could maybe have a couple more weeks heads up. And maybe she's done the work. Maybe she's already gone around. Maybe this is maybe she's the sacrificial lamb that has to come and ask. any other questions or comments?
Is the town board budget meeting on the 10th? Is that a regular town board meeting, or is that just?
On the 10th of Thursday.
It's the public hearing, the 2017 preliminary.
Just for the budget.
And we've done that before. That's how we do it.
That's what last year when I checked the minutes. That's what they did last year.
You can adopt the budget that night, or you can wait. But you
have to have a public hearing by that date.
Yeah. And you've got to adopt it by the 21st of it.
I mean, that was a conservative schedule we put together. We put a lot of meetings together. This is, like I say, the majority of the board's first budget that we were working on. You know, Bob obviously wanted to make sure that we had scheduled as much time as possible to go line by line through the budget. But that date matches up with what's required from the state as far as notification for adoption of the budget. We could have had it earlier, but.
And then when do we vote to adopt the budget?
On the 21st.
The 21st?
So no later than the 21st.
So that's another special meeting. Because the town board meeting's on the 17th.
I mean, we might.
We can do it on the 17th.
So by the time we set that public hearing date, this thing might be put to bed. And we might be able to move that up.
Why is the town board meeting on Thursday the 17th?
I don't know, but it's what I'm looking at.
Is there
what's up?
Veterans Day or something?
21st.
Wednesday would be the 11th, it's Friday. I got to be here on the 21st.
But we're also meeting on November 3rd, which is a Thursday.
Because we're not doing it on the 31st.
Because it's Halloween?
I'm in trouble. That's my wife's birthday.
It's Revolution Day.
I don't know what day
your wife has.
She does.
Revolution Day.
Must be. You mean the 3rd is?
Yeah, November 17th. What day is that?
Thursday.
Is it Thursday? It's a Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, that was established.
At
our organizational meeting. Maybe because it was just based on the last day for the budget.
Yeah.
It's the only reason I can think of.
Yeah.
So we are meeting on the 3rd?
Yeah.
That's a regular time.
No, the 3rd is. No, public hearing is the 10th, right?
Right.
The 3rd is a regular public board meeting. The 10th is the public hearing. And the 17th is another board meeting. And then we're also saying the 21st, if we don't vote on the budget on the 17th, would be the budget vote meeting.
Probably gonna be able to vote on the 17th.
I would think. I don't know. We chewed through a lot of the budget.
Do away with the 21st and vote on the budget on the 17th.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because you do have that meeting scheduled for the 15th. If you want to make changes after the public hearing.
Yes, that's an expendable.
So obviously we can decide on the 15th. If there is going to be any changes.
There's a meeting on the 15th?
If
needed.
We tentatively set one up.
Did.
If needed.
Maybe meet one more
time. I loaded it up, Bob.
I thought I wrote them all.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 total budget meetings. I think we just threw the 15th in there as a...
You can extend the public hearing on the 10th. You can extend that, but no later than the 15th. So if you wanted to extend it, it had to be by the 15th.
So November 3rd is just the publication date. That's not an actual... I mean, we have a board meeting then and a work session. But that's when we have to have the public hearing published by. So we'll have a work session on the 3rd, which is basically what we're doing right now. We'll use some of our work session tonight to talk budget items.
So the 3rd is a regular meeting. It starts at 5:30, a work session.
Yeah. Then you have the public hearing, the actual public hearing on the 10th. And then the next regular scheduled board meeting is the 17th, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we could vote on the budget on the 17th.
And on the 17th, are we meeting at 7 p.m.? We're not meeting any earlier. Or
correct.
Are we doing that?
Correct.
On the 10th?
On the 17th.
No, the 17th. Wasn't that the regular schedule?
No, I'm sorry, the 10th.
And to Tony's point, if we meet on
the 10th is just a public hearing specifically for the budget.
Hearing to the 15th.
Correct. You can adjourn the public hearing on the 10th if you wanted to, if you had to. But you can't go beyond the 15th, so.
So that's a safety net.
Yeah.
Okay.
But on the 10th, we're going to meet at 7 p.m., not earlier.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
That's solely for the purpose of
the public hearing.
Right. Public hearing.
Okay.
Gene, we just talked about block parties. There's a proposed block party.
I see that in the news.
Any thoughts on block parties?
First I knew about it was seeing it in the agenda. Normally they call the highway department and ask, but since you've already given the permission, it's...
No,
we're asking. We're asking questions. We haven't given permission.
Okay, you're asking me if it's okay?
Yeah, we want your input.
Do you know where our Mercer?
Did she bring in a list of all her neighbors all agreeing to it? Because that usually...
She's going to be coming in tonight, so I don't know what...
Usually what happens on them things is you find that all of the neighbors were not in agreement to do this. And the ones who maybe wanted to come home at some time and find a roadblock, they get indignant. So I just would not want to see the board and the town dragged into a neighborhood dispute. So if she presents a roster of her neighbors that are in agreement, and there might be some ornery cuss that, you know, she could identify and say, well, this guy refuses, but, you know, if 90% of them agreeable to it, I mean.
Gene, just because I've never done this before, when they close a road for a block party, you can still go down the road if you have to get into your house, right? I mean,
what depends on how they their interpretation of closing.
From your experience.
My thing is, you cannot close the public road, right. Period, ever. Not Mike Samurai, not nobody can ever completely close the road. You have to leave an opening for emergency vehicles and neighbors that are maybe not part of the festivities.
I think you gotta notify emergency services as a department.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Gene.
She's 97. She did okay.
So Al's here, actually. Why don't we brief him really quick on the TAP grant that we're proposing going in on the village with. I'll just introduce it briefly, and then Al, if you want to get into the more technical aspects of it. A couple residents in the Coachman's Whip, is that the right?
Hourglass is actually the street that we'd be going to.
Yep, is concerned about their kids walking on Route 48. Now there's a new Stewart's down there, and they're interested in us looking at possibly putting a sidewalk in from the first entrance of Coachman's Whip.
Hourglass.
Down, connecting to the village sidewalk. The village plans on running their Chaucer, what we used to call the Chaucer Circle sidewalk on 48, up to the village limit. And then we would connect to that. There's a pretty dense population between the Coachman's Whip development and Country Lane, and a fair amount of kids that walk down Route 48. If this time of year, if you drive down there, it's very dark, and when it snows, there's really very little shoulder when they're plowing. I know the Chaucer Circle sidewalk was heralded by the residents of that community. It allowed their kids to get off of a state highway and access the village. And now that there's a Stewart's just down the way, I think there's more interest there. So I got a call last week from the mayor of the village of Ballinsville, Dick Clark, letting me know that they would be applying for this, what they call a TAP grant. And I mean, there's a procedure that you need to follow. It will take some time for us, if we're approved, to actually get the funding for it. But I think that's true with all grants now, especially since it's a federal grant that's administered by the state. And but given the population that we have along Route 48, it's somewhat unique in that it does present an opportunity for us to connect a segment, pretty good chunk of our population, to the village sidewalk that they're proposing. So with that, I'll have Al kind of brief you on the phone call that we had today with the village, with the officials in that grant.
Yeah, so we the reason we moved so fast on this was the application deadline is the 21st. And there was a pre-application that had to be submitted to the DOT by the 14th, which was Friday. So we kind of got involved in this at the 11th hour on Thursday afternoon.
and we actually technically couldn't participate in it because we had to be a part of a
there was a training program that was a requirement to being able to apply. We did not attend. The village mayor attended. And there's a minimum funding requirement that we weren't going to meet. That you had to have, essentially you had it, the minimum award was $250,000 and you had to put 20% above that, so you basically need a $300,000 project. We don't have a $300,000 project, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So, but they will allow us to piggyback on the village's grant application. We would have to formalize an IMA if it's funded, and then we would have to, you know, ultimately I think this probably goes the route of forming a special district to pay for that sidewalk. That would include Country Lane residents, Giddings Crest residents, and those residents fronting 48 between the Village Line and the Country Lane Hourglass intersection. This would be something that we'd be looking to do with, we would need some help with the village from a snow removal standpoint, more than likely. That we'd have to, so there'd be cost to the residents for snow removal. There'd be cost for replacement costs, obviously, after the end of the useful service life of the sidewalk, and then debt service costs for the 20% match. We're hopeful that a lot of the match can be eaten up through Steve and mine's time doing the, there's a whole lot of hoops you got to jump through for these FHWA grants. You have to do a preliminary design report, final design report, contract documents, plans, specs, and estimates, then get approval, and then you have to have continuous construction inspection. So there's an opportunity for us to eat up a lot of the match with Steve and my time, you know, devoted to the project.
So you probably just said it, and I apologize. So the initial, the 20% would come out of that, and that's our
as much as we can, yeah.
But the maintenance and operational costs for snow removal, where does that money come from?
We'd have to do a special district.
So the district, those people would end up
paying for it, yeah.
Including putting money aside to replace those sidewalks.
Well, that'd be the goal,
years,
yeah.
Or I mean, 25 years, whatever.
The board has to set the fees appropriately enough to be able to do it, but yeah.
And these residents would want that?
Yeah, so I talked to the couple residents that approached me. I asked them, because obviously, you know, I'd like to see that there's a need, a community desiring. I want support on this. We started the process down the road just so that we could get our foot in the door. But in my conversation with a resident, they thought that they're going to pass around a petition. So it's, look, you know, I understand that.
The other option would be, in addition to the petition, when the petition comes back, to do a mailing to the residents with a public interest survey card and have them send it back like we do with lighting districts.
Typically. Yeah, because by that, you know, we're starting to crunch numbers to get an estimate on, you know, what's going to be the cost in that district. Keeping in mind, I don't know how many homes are there.
Maybe 110, 20, someplace.
All right, so let's say 100, and I'd say the district cost was $5 or $10 a year. That would go, and I think, what's the service life of a sidewalk, 20, 30 years?
Usually you figure 25.
25 years. So of that $5 or 10, whatever it's going to be, a portion is for a third party to come in and
snow removal,
or we work out an agreement with the village, and then the rest just gets put aside in that district. So when the time comes, if we need to replace it or replace certain flags,
It'll probably be more than that $5 to $7. I think you're probably looking at a $25. Ultimately, when you start including replacement costs, and there most likely will be some debt service. Do I think it'll be a full 20%? No, but there's going to be a few thousand dollars worth of debt service. There's going to be, you know,
I really like the idea, and I think it's good business to consider this as a district enterprise. Are we obligated to set it up?
No, we can't. Well, I don't know. Tony, you'll have to answer that. I mean, I don't know what fund you pay for it out of
if
you don't.
Well, I guess what I'm getting, where I'm going on that is, are we going to get pushback saying, hey, Route 48, everybody can walk that sidewalk. And this is a public road. It's not like it's in the community. And I just want to make sure we're ready for maybe some pushback from residents saying that we don't want to pay for it exclusively, because you know, everybody's going to walk that sidewalk.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Could make the same argument about village residents riding on town roads and they don't pay.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's a...
I think this is one of those unique situations where, you know, and I think the mayor raised a good point. You know, you take Genesee Street in Camillus, where they spent millions of dollars on a sidewalk, and I've never seen anybody on those beautiful sidewalks with the crook lighting. Not a single person have I ever seen on those sidewalks, because the point the mayor made was there's not a beginning and an end. You know, you park your car at McDonald's, it's not like you're going to play Frogger and try to get across Genesee Street to wherever you're going across the way. You know, that's the car is your anchor, where here you have a specific neighborhood and you're going someplace and you're coming back. So it's more of a modal, it's a pedestrian
All right.
Endeavor.
1610.
Oh, it's a run. I mean, but like I say, I'm not necessarily in favor of putting sidewalks all through the town. It's not, we're not set up like that.
Well, this is a good idea.
But when you can connect communities,
sure.
When it makes sense, when you have a dense enough population to support a project, and I see kids on 48.
I used to walk on 48 to school every single day in the middle of winter. So I think that those sidewalks were godsend.
Yeah,
so.
They were very positive. The people in Chaucer.
Is the communities on both sides of 48 that were part of this district, or
the houses that front both sides of 48? Yes.
That front.
Yes. And the houses in the two neighborhoods, Country Lane and Gideon's Cross.
All of those houses.
Yes.
So the sidewalks on both sides of the road?
One side.
Just one side.
Crosswalk at, we would come down the east side of 48, because that's where the existing village sidewalk is. Mm-hmm. So we'd put a crosswalk in at Country Lane, an hour or less.
When we get to this point, can you come up with a map that shows the actual district in the homes?
Oh, yeah, we'll have to. We'll have to do a district map plan report, and yeah, there's...
So if we're putting sidewalks up, do we think that we want to look at the traffic, though? Because it goes from 45 to 30 really quick. And where the 30 happens or begins is where the sidewalks begin. If we're going to have students walking on that sidewalk,
certainly would
having
be,
cars going 45
as part of it, we would certainly want to ask the DOT to do a speed study for that section of 48.
And you'd also be amazed at how a crosswalk, because we're proposing two.
No, we would only...
To get across...
We would do one across Country Lane just to get to the other side of the first Country Lane intersection.
Yep.
And then one across 48 at Hourglass.
Oh, so just one crossing 48.
Yeah, only one crossing at 48. You'd want to do the lighted pedestrian crossing signs in both directions on that.
Sounds good.
Okay. So you're up to speed on that?
And it's all on state...
Yeah, no right-of-way. We don't anticipate any right-of-way takings for this one. That's a 66-foot wide right-of-way. We should have room there. I mean, it's hard to say until we get an actual survey, but from the looks of things, we should be okay.
Okay, great.
Nice.
So why don't we get into the budget?
And just one technical point, I apologize for not bringing it up. Should we cancel the 20th meeting, or do you guys want to go ahead and do it? Because Roman and I are not going to be here.
I already took it off my phone. I'm pretty sure we're not going to do that. Well, I mean, I want
to. Once it's off.
Pete's like, yeah.
But I mean, we have to let the public know that tonight.
But Joe, that might be a great opportunity for us to meet with Gene and Steve and Al and.
That could be the committee. That could be a committee meeting, but we'll take it off as a public work session for the budget.
Thanks.
Okay, so we'll make that announcement.
I'm not just cutting meetings; I'm actually adding one.
Yeah, you tried.
But I didn't think it'd be right to meet without these guys, though.
No, I agree. I agree. Announcements.
Were you going to do Willow Parkway granite curbing replacement? Were we going to talk about that? Or?
Yeah, Gene's here, no?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, to set this one up, basically, how many feet? 225 feet?
I got 250 feet that I would recommend. There's 100, about 150 feet out, and we would there's about another 100 feet that I would probably take out just because it's heaved some already. No sense in not doing it all.
Okay, so the gist of what happened is we needed to do some work on Willett Parkway.
Yeah, we had some catch basins that needed to be done. There's some curb that had frost heaved and pushed towards the road some. Gene popped out the curb that was pushed in. The edge of the road was damaged some. Like to put the curb back in. There's some broken pieces. I did a conservative estimate that we need to purchase 150 lineal feet of curb at $15 a foot. Gene says he has some straight curb in his stockpile that we could use, so that's a very, very conservative estimate. There's at least a 100 feet of curb that's out there, approximately 100 feet of curb that's out there stacked in the median still. So this is a very, very conservative estimate of the 150 foot of curb. Previously, when the highway department has set curb, they've used just a chain around the curb, which is really not a good way to set it. It's not safe, and it does not allow for you to have good grade control underneath the chain when you pull the chain out. So we'd want to purchase a curb setting clamp, essentially a kind of like an old bail hook, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
To pick up the curb and set it with our backhoe. About 10 yards of concrete. That's again very conservative estimate. Typically, when you set granite curb against asphalt, you do 4 inches of dry mix concrete underneath the curb, and then you do continuous backing with wet mix concrete the whole length of the curb that was set.
Yeah. Is this just an FYI to us, or is this
no? So that introduces this. Now, Gene and I have talked about this, and Gene has a different opinion of the granite curbs along Willett. If you want to share that with the board.
The curbing on the inside on the median is in pretty poor shape most of the way, and it serves no real purpose other than aesthetics. And I say, to my way of thinking, leave the outside around, because that in places that does restrain the hillside, but the curbing along the median serves no purpose. So if somebody wants to keep it because they like the way that it looks, they should pay for it. I don't see any.
I would disagree with that. The gutter spread is going to be much wider from flooding during extreme storm events. Is going to be much wider running up against the grass than the granite curb. So we would have to look at, if we were going to take it out, we should look at reevaluating the spacing of our existing catch basins so that we don't have ponding for more than half the lane width, causing cars to hydroplane during extreme weather events.
I mean, my opinion is, is there an aesthetic value? Yes. But it existed before we did our work. We're not adding curbing. My thought is we repair what is there.
And this would be a good action. There are other sections of the curb in that median that could use to be reset. I have reviewed the contract drawings for the curb when it was put in. The detail is not up to snuff to today's standard. It called for a little pile of concrete behind each joint in the curb, which has allowed, you know, over the last 40 years, allowed the curb to move all over the place without the correct foundation under it.
So does this just come out of the 775 that we voted?
Correct.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you need a vote on it.
Well,
we can do, the highway department can do whatever the board wants us to do, provided you provide the money, we do it. But I'm trying to point out to you that this is an extreme, a lot of money for nothing other than aesthetics. And the DEC is actively promoting the idea of getting away from curbs and letting the water drain
into a ditch,
the grass and, or ditches. And
the problem we have is the median in.
I'm not saying I don't want to dismiss this just like that. I'm saying if those who want the aesthetics, they should think about having a landscape architect look at it and see what is the best way to make that beautiful. And the curbing is very expensive. Okay, there's other ways of beautifying that parkway. I'm not convinced that, I don't think we have adequate engineering or planning of any sort that demonstrates a need for it.
What did I just say, Gene?
I heard you, but I say a lot of things. All right. Sometimes we have to revisit it.
Okay. Let me.
If you want it, you know, we can do it.
No.
I'm saying to you,
but the reason
a hell of a lot of money for Lysander as a whole to be paying for something that only benefits the people that drive down Willett Parkway.
Well, what I would say is,
is it an asset of the town?
You live where I live, and you live when, out on Plainville Road. Why should you pay for?
Well, as far as having us rip out curb and replace it, I'd go back to my original point. We're not beautifying Willett Parkway. All we're doing is returning it to its original
state.
I would never suggest that we bring in a landscape architect to beautify the median of Willett Parkway. That's not our intent here. The intent was that we did work, we ripped out curb, we should fix it.
Haphazardly ripped out curb and busted out the edge of the road.
Well, not haphazardly.
You want to see the pictures of the roughed up edge of the road?
Okay. Let's just guys, So, if you guys want, we can float a motion. It looks like Gene will do the work. He'd prefer not to, but we'll do the work with a motion from this board.
Why do we have to do a motion? Why can't we just do the work?
Does he have the time to do it this year?
I think because it's Gene's prerogative.
Then let's float a motion.
Okay. So
my hat is off to Gene and his crew for being willing to tackle this. Setting curbs is not easy.
Nope.
Is there time, because Gene said he'd be willing to do it, but does he have time this year?
We're already three quarters of the way into planning to do it. I've got to send away to California to get this handling thing. It's actually $288 plus $75 free to get it here. But I've made all the connections and things that I need to do this, to simply put the curb back, and buy enough extra pieces to.
So
I'm prepared to do it. I'm saying it's really against my best judgment that we spend town funds to do this. I don't think it's wise. But you have the opportunity to take a vote and see how you all think. If you like it, we'll put it in.
I
support replacing the curb.
I do too.
Okay.
The road was probably designed with that curb in the first place, so it should be replaced back the way it was.
And be advised and know, take a ride out there. This little piece that we're talking about is less than 5% of the entire thing, and the rest of it most of it is in horrible shape. We probably need $100,000 or more to fix all of it. The piece that we took out is because it was collapsing and it was a safety hazard. Okay, that's why we took it out. And there's more that's not far behind the condition that this was in. So just be advised that this is not the end of it, just to do this little repair. There's more that will be coming. So we need to go take a look and ride up and down and make a decision whether you're prepared to spend that kind of money.
Well, I think
or not.
we should do that. We should always be looking at our infrastructure as far as what needs to be done, what work needs to be done.
He makes a valid point.
Yeah.
But my gut feeling is that if we look into that, we're probably going to end up removing a mounded median and creating a
which is going to require a whole lot of utility relocation, not just removing a mound. It's not just there's utilities that run, there's duct banks that run through that median, there's water main that runs through that median.
He makes a valid point.
That's what I've heard for 4.5 years since I've been here. You can't touch that Mullet Parkway because there's all these utilities. So when we did the UFPO for the two catch basins, we found out there ain't so much.
No, but down on the other end, there is. On the south end.
There's 10 places, there's problems.
And there's water main all the way down, so.
Well, it doesn't mean that it can't work.
No, but you can't take cover off the water main.
All right, so here's the thing. I think we're having a conversation about something that we haven't truly researched.
You got it.
But we do know that we ripped out 250 feet of curb, and I think it's the board's...
let's restore it.
Wants to restore that section.
That's what I said that in the very beginning, that for me to haul it away and store it at 60 Road was a lot of work. I said, I would just as soon store it right where it is, so I'll put it back, and then we're done with it. I don't really want to do that, but I don't have any other good options.
Right. Good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll add that on the agenda, and that's it. Any other questions or comments?
Do we need to do anything with it other than they agreed to replace it?
No, he wants us to.
Gene,
do you
want a motion?
I can just make a resolution that you want to spend that money to fix to replace that.
So we're gonna reorganize these motions.
I wish we didn't have to do that because we haven't voted to spend $775,000 on road repairs. I mean that we left it to our engineer and highway superintendent.
This is being spent out of this year's money.
Yes, I know, but out of this year's money, you've also spent close to $750,000 on fixing roads that we didn't approve everything you did through resolution. You just did it because you're a department head. If you want us to do a resolution for $4,000, I'll do one, but it seems to me it's unnecessary.
I think you should because if people ask me why I did it, I want to be able to say it. Wasn't me. I didn't.
The devil,
I voted against it.
The devil made you do it.
Well, he doesn't want to do it, so that's why you need
I
to
get it.
Okay.
But it's not the way we want to be doing business.
All right. So, okay. So let's go. Let's get. We have a couple department heads here. Please don't. You're a department, but you're an elected official. Please don't take that as any type of a slight. I'm just identifying the clerk's office as in a department.
Not at all.
Okay. But we have two representatives here that would like to speak on their budget. First, let's introduce Dina Elcone, our clerk, to talk about what she's proposed.
Okay, I've given you each a little sort of a syllabus to follow, and hopefully you read it before the meeting. I'll start out with a few things that I propose, the following, as you've read as well. My salary shall remain the same. Salary of the deputy clerk shall remain the same. The position of deputy two shall be eliminated. There will be an amount of $2,000 left in my budget should the need arise to hire an on-call temporary clerk. Now, my reasoning behind this is that I'm full-time and Jan is full-time. So what I did was I kind of monitored the progress of the office when we had our third deputy with us. And I found that she wasn't really needed for those hours. I'm running an efficient office, and I just think that that's kind of a waste of money to be paying somebody to just sit there for 2 hours a week, 5 days. So I would request that the $2,000 be left, like I said, should the need arise to hire an on-call or temporary clerk. Regarding equipment, I did not add that line to the budget. The IT department and I had a discussion about my computer and And it's old. It's a laptop, and it's used basically to store all of my information. But it's functioning, and it's working, and I don't see any reason to replace it because it's working for me right now. So I would like to take that out of there. I'm not requesting that at all.
The 1,025, mm-hmm. Take it out?
Yep. Should the need arise, should the computer die or something, then I'll definitely need to put in for equipment. But this year, I'm not gonna do that. I don't foresee anything happening. Okay. So regarding supplies, my past experience in a busy municipality, basically where we took in at least $50,000 a month in fines and surcharges, my budget was $5,000, and there were years we didn't even reach it. So I really, for my office and what the amount of money that we take in for supplies, I would say I don't need to have $6,500 in there. So I'm proposing a cut in that part of my budget. You know,
what is that under? Is that town for
2,500, right?
Yeah.
It's a $6,500 budget for the supplies.
She's 402. Page 46.
I see 5,500.
So she's talking about.
I put it down to 5,500.
Okay.
Yeah. It was 6,500.
Okay. Down from last year.
So I'm going to cut that line to save some money.
So instead of 99.15, what should the number be? In this budget roll up, it's 99.15 on page 4 of 13.
Well, we already did cut it. I mean, because she's in her page that you got your hand on.
Yes.
She's asked for 5,500.
Okay.
It was 65.
So it's already included in the 99.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
It is. Okay, great.
I really don't see going above 5,000, and just looking at what we've used in the past couple of years, I don't see it. So I'm going to save some money there. Okay, so, and here comes my other proposal. I am proposing for the online dog licensing system. It's through the BAS system, which we currently use now for our licensing programs, and it is, the cost is $1,595. So basically what it is I've kind of bullet pointed here too. The residents will log on to our website, and then they'll have a link that they'll click on, and they'll be able to license their dogs online easily from wherever they are. The only thing that came up basically was, well, what if their rabies are expired, and how are they going to do that? Well, they would be called to come in, they would be told to come into the office to show the rabies certificates. So they won't be allowed to license a dog unless their rabies are up to date. Let's see.
So to start that though,
yeah.
They'd have to put in a date that they're, would you have to establish them?
No, what would they would do is they put their license number in, because we have their information already in BAS. We already have this program for dog licensing.
Okay.
This would just be like an addition to the online.
An extension.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they would be able to pay by credit, debit, or electronic check. And then at the end of the day, what we would do when we print our reports is that we would have a record of all of them, and they would be in the system. So we wouldn't have to print anything out. Right now we're keeping like paper copies of their licenses, which we don't need to have. So we could eliminate our filing system as far as that is. So we could call upon any month we want with licensing, you know, how much we brought in, just by one click for internet. So I think that this would help our office. I think it would help residents. I think it's a really good idea, since a lot of people are paying bills online right now. And for people to come in to town hall to pay $7.50 to register their dogs, you know, if that's all they're doing, they can easily do it from home. So,
where do we fit? Where do we stand compared to other towns? Is this like everybody doing this, or?
Well, there are not a lot of towns are doing it. I know some towns want to put it into their systems, but a lot of people are still, they don't have as much as we do as far as, you know, dogs, so.
So how many licenses are you talking about?
Any.
No, how many a year?
I would have to look at my monthly, but I could get you that information.
No, I'm just curious.
I could,
if you had a ballpark number.
Yeah. I could probably.
What's your annual revenue? You can divide it by 750.
I don't have it right now.
Oh, that's you don't. I got you. Don't do your itemized. I was gonna say the itemized revenue when you're.
Monthly. Well, and my monthly report.
On your budget.
Oh, well, I don't have it. I don't have that. Yeah. But I know what you're saying. Like if I ran the reports,
yeah,
then I could
tell.
Yeah.
Dave, you should have that.
Yeah. Well, we got $17,960 budgeted, so divide that by
750.
Whoever.
716.
So what is it? 17,000?
17,960.
960.
Divided by 750.
About 2,395 dogs.
The only thing is with new dogs, they'd have to come in because they'd have to provide their rabies.
Yeah.
So.
Dog owners are a significant voting block, but I'd have to remember that.
And isn't the rabies shot only good for like 2 years?
They have a 1 year and a 3 year.
3 year?
Yeah.
So every third year, I'd have to come in to show you my certificate.
Yeah.
Every third year. Most people are doing the 3 years. For the shot.
Hmm.
Okay, so the total investment the first year is $2,520. There's an annual hosting, which is like a maintenance fee, that kind of thing, IT help for $600 a year. I think in the long run, the system would pay for itself, and I just think it would be a nice asset to have for the residents.
I'm just getting a little confused. We're talking about spending off the bat
$2,520.
And then another $1,595?
$600 a year for maintenance.
Okay. And how many dogs did we say? How many licenses?
$2,395.
How many?
$2,400.
So theoretically, you could increase your dog license fee to $850 and you pay for it in a year.
And I know this has been proposed before, and it wasn't passed, but I thought I would.
Because they didn't dog licenses used to be 15?
Well, it's if the dog is spayed or neutered, it's $750.
Yeah, you know, and I think our dog license fee went down once Ag and Markets got out of it.
Do we determine
like
that?
Ag and Markets used to take a portion of that money.
What
is? Well, now they don't. The town was just
committed to that. No, it's Ag and Markets.
Is that how it used to work?
I can't remember. Yeah.
Well, Ag and Markets determines our fees, our dog fees.
I don't think they do any more than they used to.
Yeah, so
but we do
go.
Pay Ag and Markets, you know, a spay-neuter fee.
Right, but they don't determine our licenses.
Right.
Some towns are different. Some towns are $850. Some towns are $15. It depends on the town.
Yeah, I think the town can set their own fee.
Yeah.
Set it at $15.
Let's set it at 15.
So it's just something to consider, you know.
Is the 600 part of the
double
online?
Our revenue?
Where,
yeah,
which number is it part of? The 25?
No, well, the 2520 is it's one
first time.
Fee for the first time, your first year.
Okay.
Then every year
okay.
It's 600.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the $15.95? That's for the
we pay that anyways, right? Regardless.
That's what we pay anyways. That's our fee for the BAS system.
That we use for what else besides dogs?
Oh, that's marriage licenses.
Oh.
Any money that we take in is through BAS, except for DEC.
If we get the dog license thing, it'll add $600 to that number.
Yes.
So it'll be $15.95 doesn't include the.
It does not include the $600.
The annual software maintenance.
That's
for
correct.
The dog fee.
That is correct.
For 2017.
Not this first year.
Not the first year. The year it'll go. The year after that.
Go.
Yeah, we don't. There's no. Is there? maintenance fee or whatever for the first year, or is that all to start in the second year?
That would start in the second year.
Okay.
Yeah, the 600 would not be added on top of that. So that's what I'm asking for this year, not for next year.
And I don't know if you want to talk about that thing, but the other question I had was your revenues, and I don't know where the number came from, but you went from 8381 actual in 2015 to 8400 budgeted this year to 10,000 for 17. That's $1,600 more. I'm just wondering where that money's coming from.
For revenues?
Oh,
I didn't see any.
I know, I have to come out somewhere. Are you talking about for 2016?
Yes.
Four of 13?
No.
Oh, four of her
four
budget.
Of the revenue.
No.
Of the revenue.
Of revenues.
It's on page
so it
four.
It says page
it's on
four
page
on
five
top.
Or four up here on the top, and it basically says clerk fee, certified copies.
Oh, okay.
And the actual was $8,381 last year, and you're proposing $10,000.
I think we isolated that down to one line, other income, between dog redemption fees, games of chance, bingo license, dog license, and other permits. There was a $4,000 jump from 16 to this year proposed in revenue.
Right.
There was a question there.
Yeah. What we had done is taken the income of the office and divided it equally, and that was the amount that we came out with that we would make at or around.
Based on this year's numbers? What was the number?
Based on the last 2 years' numbers.
Actuals?
Based on the actuals, and that this is estimated.
Right.
The 20,000 is estimated, so that number's not set in stone.
But you think?
But I think so.
But that's the question, though, right?
Yeah.
Is how, like, what?
What, do you have our year-to-dates on revenue generated?
No, I only brought in the expense side.
And I have a worksheet on how I figured that out, but I don't have it on me right now. I can go grab it.
Okay, well.
Yeah, thank you. All right, clerk fees, this is through August, is $4,448.
Through when?
Yeah.
You can get there through here. Yep. I'm sorry, Dave.
4,448. That was through the month of August. For clerk fees.
All right, so we got 4 months to go.
And that's what I rolled in there, too. So I did, like, an estimate based on my numbers. It was an estimate that I calculated that number out.
But I think it's $1,600 estimated too high. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we think that there's a question in it that might be optimistic.
Well, I was looking at it too when I was doing the worksheet, that we still have the month of November where the DMPs are still going to be available for people. So we have that whole month. And then we hadn't gone through October yet. And so, you know, we had to estimate the DEC DMPs that we were selling as well, which was higher. So we calculated that in.
So this is where your office makes hay as far as licensing goes.
Right now,
hunting licensing.
This, yeah, October, yeah. November.
Okay,
I know.
September.
But 2013, the actual was 8,926. 2014, the actual was 8,500. The actual last year was 8,381. We're only arguing over $1,600 mm-hmm. bucks, but it's
yeah.
I don't know where you're going to get the extra money this year.
All right.
I don't
well,
see what's
that's
different.
Fair.
Well, it is fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're going to sell more licenses. So I would propose dropping line 1255 down to $8,400 again instead of 10. 1250, yeah, 1255. That's my proposal.
I don't have an issue with a conservative estimate there.
Okay. And then I'm then going back to all other income. I'm confused about that. Is that fall, Dave? Does that fall under licenses and permits? I mean, this $20,000 that's down there, that's what's added up, total licenses and permits. Is that what's called other income?
Yes. And then there's other clerk fees, the monthly. I should have probably printed out a monthly. You know, I could still do that.
Well, Dave,
I mean, we can revisit this, too.
Dave, yeah, Dave's got, so she's got dog redemption fees, which would be account 1550. She's got gains of chance, which is only probably $100, but bingo license, which is probably $600-$700, dog licenses.
All right, so just, again, I hate to be a pain, but the actual in 2013 was just shy of $17,000. The actual in 15 was just shy of $15,000. I think we're $5,000 higher than we ought to be in terms of projected revenue, unless you're really optimistic. And even though we budgeted $17,800, I could drop it down to that, but 20 seems awfully ambitious.
Okay.
We don't have the numbers from 3 years ago, do we?
Yeah.
Okay, what was it 3 years ago?
Bob just had it.
Well, I had 2013, which was 17,600.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. That's
I'm sorry, 16,950.
Okay. That's what I was looking for.
And last year, I don't know what 2014's number was actual, but we budgeted 16,914, and then last year, 15 was, we brought in 14,801. So I'm happy.
16?
Well, I would, 16 or 17. I'm, Dana, I mean, I don't want to put any pressure on you. You haven't been here a year yet, so. You know, I don't want to see you have a budget number there that you can't meet.
Okay. I am optimistic.
Mm-hmm. And if you come in with more money, that's great. So should we drop that down to 17?
Sure.
Or do you want to leave?
What did you change the other number to?
8,500.
Oh, 85 or 84? 84. It was 84.
84?
Yeah. For clerk fees. I mean, I wish these numbers were gold. I mean, because we just took $5,000 away from ourselves that we got to find somewhere else. That's all I have.
Okay. Any other questions for Dina? All right. Tony.
Should we do that like on... We're going to get started.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't... We're going to push you. Push you back. Stay in the green room. Enjoy yourself. Like Johnny, you got bumped
you're
to the next...
You're off the hot seat tonight.
You're off the hot seat tonight.
So do we want to do... I think Wednesday is our next meeting?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay. So Wednesday is...
5:45.
Wednesday? Can you come Wednesday at 5:45? Okay, I have one other work session item that I'd like the board to consider. If the board would allow adding what will eventually be item K. A motion. Well, I'm gonna read.
Couple of them.
This is the new K. It would be. So I heard back from Onondaga County, and Tony, we can talk about this now, right? Because it's pretty much a done deal. Okay. There's a piece of property off of Mechanic Street that was on the county auction block that we felt was advantageous to us because it was contiguous with our Department of Public Works facility on Elizabeth Street. I believe the number is 26 Mechanic Street. It was on the auction block. There was a $39,000 lien on it. It was set to go to auction. The county reached out to us and asked us if we were interested at all in that piece of property. I didn't, after talking with the board, it indicated that yes, we were interested. We had a choice of whether or not to go to the auction, which was held today, or to have it taken off for whatever amount that they determined the value to be. And they came back with $1,000 cost. I talked with this board and asked them if they supported the purchase of that property at $1,000. Again, I feel that it greatly enhances our property, our Department of Public Works property on Elizabeth Street, as far as having another driveway slash road entering it from the south. It's in line with
Warner Ave.
Warner Ave. Can't believe I'm from that neighborhood and I can't remember that. So we'd indicated that yes, we wanted it removed from the auction, and that we were interested in that piece of property for $1,000. Tonight, I'd ask the board that we entertain a motion allowing for the purchase of 26 Mechanic Street for $1,000.
From the county of Onondaga.
From the county of Onondaga for $1,000. And that, if you're inclined to allow that, we put that down in item K.
Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
good.
Okay. Oh.
Item K, you already have a K.
Well, I know. So here's the thing. That leads me to the realignment of the agenda. Okay.
Stand by.
So the agenda as it reads, A and B are motions to establish reserve funds. We are axing A and B.
Uh-huh.
So that moves C to A. Actually, no.
Explain to G. Wait. We're still doing it.
We're still doing it. We're still putting money aside. We're just.
There was a problem with the language.
That's all. Yeah, that's all. That's what we're doing. Yeah.
We're doing it, but we're doing it a little different way.
Okay.
All's good, G.
D becomes A.
So, D.
Can I just say something?
Double it up if you want.
You don't need to change any of these letters.
That's right.
Because the minutes will reflect that A was taken off the calendar, exactly. B was taken off.
Oh, okay.
Off.
All right.
And just leave the rest of them as they are.
I would much rather.
Okay, but if you look down, C and D.
There's duplicates.
Well, they're not duplicates, but they're in the wrong order.
We are establishing one, and then we're asking Dina to advertise for it.
Right.
We probably ought to authorize it first. Establish it first.
Right. Establish it first, then authorize the public.
Yeah, you can always, well, we could have done it in one, but that's okay. One. You can do it in one motion, authorizing it, and then authorize it to publish the notice.
No, let's do that.
You can take, I would take C off. Do D and just add to D and authorize the clerk to publish notice accordingly.
Yeah, I love it.
Sweet.
Okay, and so that brings us down. Then
we'll do the same thing with F and G.
F and G.
G. F and G.
F and G.
So you're going to do G, but then also authorize.
And F. Should we do it, Tony? So
you omit F and authorize the publication under G and authorize the clerk to publish notice accordingly.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so it's A, B. D is the new C.
No, we're gonna.
No, just leave the levy.
We're just gonna whack them as we go.
Yeah, because in the minutes, when she takes the minutes down, she's just gonna say, you know, item C was omitted or whatever.
Okay.
So you don't need to change everything. Get a.
A, B, and C will stand, but we don't do anything. We're not acting on them. The first thing we're gonna act upon is D.
You can just, in the minutes, you can reflect E's or whatever the number.
Can we hire J and K, or do J and K in the same motion, just to make a motion to hire them both? Rather than two separate motions?
Are they different positions?
Different programs.
Yeah, you should do those different.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what about this thing? Additional item for work session, appointment of John Leonardo. Does that come up anywhere?
We still skipped rallying.
Yeah.
H, we had a talk.
Oh, yeah, what about Gene's employees?
L.
Do you have the show?
Where's that?
So Tony's got two requests there for employees, and Gene's got one.
Okay. All right. H I J K. So that would be L.
And then is your land thing an M?
Okay. Your land.
Okay. Mechanic Street is.
Mechanic Street?
Well, we'll have Mechanic Street as an L, and this is an M.
Okay.
Do you want that to be a resolution?
Yeah.
Or just okay.
I mean, the appointment has to it's got to be in the form of a resolution, and it's got to. We need a rate of pay.
What are we hiring? Laborer.
Gene, why don't you brief us on this?
John Leonardo. Because I was out with the funeral arrangements, but I need to replace the fellow that deserted us and went over to Van Buren last winter. Roughly short, but what I need to plow snow and do road watch this fall and winter. That person happens to be as skilled at one person plowing, which makes him a good catch. But New York State is pressuring him to come back to work for them on November 1st. So if we don't strike, we're going to lose him. But on the other hand, we have an issue with the labor force that needs to be resolved. And so it's possible that we may be revisiting the whole thing.
Are we ready to hire this person then?
I am.
Do we have to?
Again, you're putting him into the supplemental pool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, in the pool.
You're not necessarily putting him to work.
If all you're doing is putting him in the pool.
With the intention of he is the key night watch person.
But that's not put to bed yet. Yeah. I wouldn't hire him if that's his understanding of it, because that's not established yet. I mean, we could easily meet on.
You want to make the motion, but not pull the trigger until you get resolution. But if we don't do something shortly, he's going to be gone. Which
I think you can do the appointment. I just wouldn't say that he's going to be the night watch.
Not going to put him to work yet. That's all.
But if you didn't use him in this whole night new shift, would you use him anyway, Gene, or not?
He wouldn't be available.
He's a plow operator. He does exactly what we want to do. Is exactly what he does for the state.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if it doesn't work out with this,
if that doesn't work out,
is he going to be with us? Or will he go with the state?
Well, if he's going to go with the state, he wants to go now. He told me today that he should have been off the pot and changed my French. If you want it, we want it. We got to make an issue. You know, if you want to pass on it, I hate to lose it.
I'll tell you what. I don't like being pushed by a potential employee.
He's not pushing me.
He didn't? That sounded like a push to me in many different ways.
He has to answer the state. And if we don't come first, then we won't He's been working for the state for 10 years. We're trying to steal him.
Gene, we had a budget meeting scheduled for this Thursday. These two guys can't make it.
Yeah.
So Pete and I are available. I hope Al might be Thursday at like 4. For you and Al and...
What has Al got to do with the union contract?
Well, he's on that committee that we put together, the highway committee.
We're trying to get the highway committee together with you and your labor force.
Okay.
Steve.
This is not an engineering matter. This is a labor.
No, but
yes.
Right.
Yes. So if we could meet Thursday and iron things out and have it make sense, then this guy would be a good fit. If after Thursday we can't make it work.
So make the resolution tonight, but we don't pull the trigger until after we
Well, the resolution's the trigger.
But if you're just putting him in a supplemental pool, then it's okay to pull the trigger.
I don't think that's the intent.
That's what I'm asking.
You only want him if he can be the night watchman.
Exactly. Okay. I'm saying he's the guy, he's the key to the one person plowing, and teach the other guys to do the one person plowing. He's got 10 years experience at it. Okay, there's no...
So what's the right thing to do? Tonight.
But if we don't get it passed with the union...
Do we just...
What do we do?
Well, then he'll just make the determination that he won't work with us.
He may still come, but I
choose to go to
all right,
state.
So we still need a rate of pay for him.
I'm a little confused. Is he a laborer or is he going to be an MEL?
Labor crew leader.
He's replacing Bob Lathrop. That's what Bob Lathrop was. He was a labor crew leader.
No.
Evaluates the slip conditions.
And no, we can't see. Yeah, but he can't be a crew leader.
Right.
We had a crew leader.
No, well, Bob was a crew leader in parks only. No. You're bringing him on in a highway application.
He was paid as a crew leader.
He was.
In the highway.
He was.
Because he chose, he was the
okay.
one who made the determination.
So what's his rate of pay?
Well, don't forget, though, if we go back to that title, then that guy has to work for him in the summer.
Oh, no.
I don't think we want to. Yeah, it does. During the winter months, the labor crew leader is designated for assignment.
It's defined in the contract.
I know that it's there, but that's not what it says. You're reading something into it that's not there.
It's 7 o'clock.
I think we need to impact this up and maybe discuss
this. I don't think this is settled. Maybe it would be settled Thursday after the meeting, and we can...
You can do a voice vote anytime. You don't have to do it at a meeting.
Can't do a voice over. It's got to be at a meeting.
I can hire him myself. I really don't even require you. But it's a formality that we like to do.
There you go.
You got two issues. You got whether the new program is going to work or not, and the second issue is can we hire a crew leader if the contract says he has to work for us in the summer in parks? I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, that's good.
You got to figure that out.
You don't work for the parks. I don't want them.
Well, that's what it says.
That's not what it says. But if you're going to tie that to it, I don't want them to.
Work session adjourned at 7:01.